And we'll just go right down the list. Theoretically, all the amendments are ready, and the parties are ready to move forward, perhaps. So, Mr. Prinz, if you'd
thank
you. Senate Bill 19.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Timothy Travis and Carl Meyer are here. They're the ones that put this together, Mr. Chairman, if you want them to be available. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, if you may recall, Senate Bill 19 deals with circumstances under which a juvenile offender who is over 18 may be placed in an adult jail, essentially. We had the initial meeting some time ago, and Mr. Travis and Mr. Meyer worked on these amendments with several stakeholders in the juvenile system. It's my understanding that everyone agrees to these except for the Juvenile Rights Project, which was represented by Lisa Kay, and it was my understanding from talking with Ms. Kay that her dissent from agreeing to these were basically because of her belief that no one who's adjudicated as a juvenile should ever be put in an adult facility. So again, these are the rules for when a juvenile court can order a person who is over 18 but has only jurisdiction in the court is from juvenile court. And so I have a hand-grossed -1 amendment before you that Patsy Wood did, which show how the bill has been amended. Essentially, well, maybe, Mr. Chair, if you'd like, I'm sure Timothy or Carl could do a better job of explaining.
Why don't you explain what it is we think we're doing here? Go ahead.
Good morning. I'm Timothy Travis with the Oregon Judicial Department.
For your record, I'm Carl Myers, here on behalf of the Oregon Juvenile Department Directors Association. Mr. Chair, first of all, I want to say that you sent me out of here with the charge of putting a group together and working on the amendments to satisfy the concerns that were raised in our hearing in January. We met, I think, that very afternoon in January and got these hammered out, and so we're here today with these that address the concerns of due process some of the concerns raised by the judges in terms of the findings that needed to be made to place the youth offender in a jail. Mr. Travis and I would be happy to answer or attempt to answer any questions you might have about the changes that were made.
Why don't you just briefly go over the process as it would be envisioned in this, the amendments to the bill. How would we do this? When would a juvenile go into an adult facility?
Go ahead. Okay. The amendments that are before you are the dash ones, you will recall when we were here, we had this discussion all about jurisdiction of the juvenile court or adult jurisdiction and all this other kind of stuff like this. And the language on page one of the dash ones, lines 14 through 17, are an attempt to both streamline the findings necessary to place a person who is within the juvenile court's jurisdiction in an adult lockup and to reconcile the due process issues that we were talking about. And which are outlined in great detail in the letter that you have from the Juvenile Rights Project from Julie McFarlane. And the court is required to make one finding and one finding only in order to lodge an 18-year-old who's within the jurisdiction of the juvenile court in an adult lockup. And that would be that this place where the child is going, this place where the youth offender is going to be detained meets the specific needs of that youth offender. And that, of course, is the language of right to treatment, which, as you will recall, is a right that a youth offender has that an adult does not have because the youth offender has been is within custody after a truncation of their due process rights. In other words, there's no jury trial, there's no right to bail. In the jargon of juvenile delinquency, the deal that's made between the state and the young person is that in exchange for limiting your due process rights, we are going to treat you rather than merely detain you or punish you. Now, the the findings that the judges had to make under the original bill were considered to be unwieldy, unworkable. There's too many of them. It would cause a great big long hearing to happen, and so on. It is possible, I believe, under this language, for the judge to make a blanket finding that a certain lockup meets the needs of youth offenders, not in a specific case, but just as a finding. And that would be after looking at what is at that lockup and using their judgment in terms of what is available to kids in a juvenile lockup and say, well, I think that this particular adult lockup has these facilities and these services available for juveniles, and therefore I'm going to authorize that 18-year-olds can be detained in this, or 18 and older can be detained in this particular lockup. We don't make a case-by-case finding with juveniles to determine whether, for example, Donnelly Long meets their needs. If they're a juvenile and they're appropriate to be detained, we presume that Donnelly Long meets their needs because Donnelly Long has met certain standards. So I don't think you're going to see a case-by-case fight it out at the preliminary hearing as to whether or not this particular 18-year-old who is on probation to juvenile court, whether their needs can be met by this adult lockup or not. I think there certainly may be some cases where that happens. I believe there may be some cases where that happens because you may have some particular person who has special needs, for example. But I don't think that for most of the people that come into contact with this circumstance that we're going to have those needs. Now, you will also notice in the bill that there's some kind of funny language. And as you know, when we're dealing with juvenile delinquency and child abuse and neglect law, we have funny language all the time. On the second page of the bill, between lines 16 and 18, it says, as used in this section, adult does not mean a person who is 18 years of age or older and is alleged to be or has found to be been found to be within the jurisdiction of the court. Now, pardon me just a moment. I have this weird feeling that my cell phone might be on. Excuse me. The reason that this language is there is because adult doesn't mean what you might think it means when we're talking about juvenile delinquency law. A person is not an adult based on how old they are, he or she is. A person is an adult based on the kind of jurisdiction they're under. A person 20 years old who is under the jurisdiction of the juvenile court as a juvenile delinquent, so to speak, is not an adult for purposes of juvenile delinquency law. They are a youth offender.
Okay.
And a person who is 17 years old is not necessary. It could be an adult if they've been waived to the adult system and they're in the custody of the Department of Corrections. The reason that this language was changed is because there is a county council in a county that shall remain unnamed, but it has more than 500,000 people, who has read the statutes and says, well, a kid who's over 18 is an adult. And I don't care if they're within the jurisdiction of the juvenile court. They're an adult. Therefore, they can't be in a juvenile detention facility. That is a misreading of the law. So this is intended to clear that up so that a person who is 18 and within the juvenile court's jurisdiction may be in a juvenile lockup if, in that odd case, that is appropriate for them.
Right.
So that's why this weird language is in there.
All right. Thank you. Any questions? This is a work session. Looks to me like you've come up with compromises. Now, this is the bill that I said we needed to have done in 2 weeks, according to my notes. That didn't happen.
Mr. Chair, again, we had our meeting that very same day. We had
just
a compromise.
I'm just asking with you, Carl. It's okay.
And I'm responding appropriately, Mr. Chair.
It's okay. It's okay.
We know you're busy. So.
All right. Madam Vice Chair, would you like a motion?
Mr. Chairman, despite the unconscionable delay in this bill, I would move the dash one amendment.
Okay, Senator Burdick moves the adoption of the dash one amendment to Senate Bill 19. Is there any discussion? Any objections? None, so ordered. Senator Burdick.
Mr. Chairman, I would move Senate Bill 19 with the dash one amendments to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Burdick now moves Senate Bill 19 as amended before the Senate with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objections? Hearing none. So ordered. And Senator Farioli, would you be so kind as to carry the
I will, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. Work session, Senate Bill 32. Who do we have on Senate Bill 32? We're
going to. It's Grady and Bill Torso.
Great.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, just to refresh your recollection about this bill, this one deals with the court visitor program, which was started as a pilot program in Multnomah County. This program appoints a visitor, as that person is defined, in a protective proceeding, specifically, typically where somebody is being considered for a conservatorship or to otherwise have someone assigned to protect their rights, and that visitor would go and visit the person who's the subject of the conservatorship and be able to read court documents to that person, examine that person's living situation, and report back to the court. This pilot program is sought to be expanded to all counties. And when we last heard this bill, there were some concerns from the court as to court costs of the program being expanded. To my understanding, the Dash 1 amendments has takes care of that issue, and the courts are now okay with those amendments, and the bill is ready to move forward.
All right. So it appears to me that it makes it permissive as opposed to required or mandatory. All
correct,
right. Senator Burdick.
Mr. Chairman, I would move the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 32.
Senator Burdick moves the adoption of the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 32. Is there any discussion? No discussion? Any objections? Hearing none. So ordered. Senator Burdick.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 32 with the Dash 1 amendments to the Senate floor for the due-pass recommendation.
Senator Burdick moves Senate Bill 32 as amended before the Senate with the due-pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objections? Hearing none. So ordered. Senator Starr, would you? Let's carry that forward.
Will do.
Thank you, sir. Senate Bill 33, work session. Mr. Joseph.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you may remember, Senate Bill 33 creates a rebuttable presumption that funds remaining in a joint bank account upon the death of one of the parties belong to the surviving party. The Dash 1 amendments are some language that was requested by the banks. It's my understanding that the banks are now okay with that language and the bill is ready to move forward with the Dash 1 amendments.
All right. Senator Burdick.
Mr. Chairman, I move adoption of the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 33.
Senator Burdick moves the adoption of the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 33. Is there any discussion? Any objections? Hearing none. Senator Breed.
Chairman, I move Senate Bill 33 as amended by the Dash 1 amendments to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Breed moves Senate Bill 33 as amended to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objections? Hearing none. So ordered. And Senator Breed, would you carry that one?
Honored.
Oh, good.
Thrilled.
You can tell we're at the beginning of the session, so the beginning of the first, the regular session, as opposed to the special session.
Yeah.
All right, work session, Senate Bill 46. And
Mr.
Counsel.
I will. Mr. Chairman, Senate Bill 46 is the bill that you heard testimony on. It's known, I guess, as the Collins decision bill or Collins fix. This is the bill that changes the definition of entering or remaining unlawfully as it's used for burglary or criminal trespass. I, Mr. Chairman, I think a letter from the District Attorney's Office of Multnomah County has just been handed out to you explaining that because of limitation on burglary in cases where a person would enter into a enter or remain in a store after it's been they've been told not to go there. That is not a burglary in the second degree anymore, and it's now a criminal trespass in the first degree, which I believe this letter is to reference some of the issues that came up in the testimony on the first time, that this would expand burglary in the second degree under those scenarios. This letter basically says that that would only be a criminal trespass because of a amendment to burglary that happened a while ago. Right. The only amendment, Your Honor, to this is a is an emergency clause provision that should be the dash one amendments before you.
All right. Senator Burry? Dash one amendment.
Chairman, I would move the dash one amendment to Senate Bill 46.
All right. Senator Burry moves the adoption of the dash one amendment to Senate Bill 46, which is an emergency clause. Is there any discussion? Objections? That's ordered. Senator Burry.
Chairman, I would move Senate Bill 46 as amended by the dash one amendment to the Senate floor for the due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Senator Burry moves Senate Bill 46 as amended before the Senate with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objections? Hearing none, so ordered. Chair will carry that bill. Senate Bill 101, work session.
Mr. Chairman, Senate Bill 101 allows public servants and public employers to seek an injunction against a person whose conduct constitutes specified crimes. It is meant to protect public service individuals who are threatened with conduct consisting of assault, menacing, criminal trespass, disorderly conduct, or harassment. We do have some dash one amendments here, but it is my understanding that some additional language may be required, and I don't know whether Kevin or Mary want to come up.
Actually, if you're talking about Mary Bodkin,
yeah.
She sent me a note. They're going to do a little bit more legal research and see if it's necessary to amend it, so
okay.
They do so in the House.
Okay.
Right.
So we do have dash one amendments, and otherwise it should be ready to move forward to that.
Senator Burry?
Chairman, I move the dash one amendments to Senate Bill 101.
Okay, Senator Burry moves the adoption of the dash one amendments to Senate Bill 101. Is there any discussion? Any objections? Hearing none, so ordered. Senator Burry?
Chairman, I move Senate Bill 101 as amended by the dash one amendments to the Senate floor with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Burry moves Senate Bill 101 on the floor of the Senate as amended. Would you pass recommendation? Discussion? Any objections? Hearing none. So ordered. Senate Bill 112, work session.
Mr. Chairman,
do we have a carrier for?
I don't know. Senator Walker, you feel like carrying that one?
Well, I can certainly
if
get
not,
up to speed on that.
If not, you can just defer it back to me. We'll sign it to Senator Walker if she doesn't feel comfortable.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I have notes in the file, so we have them here or not.
Oh, yes. If we ever need a question answered, we can ask Senator Walker to pull her. All right. Senate Bill 112.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Senate Bill 112 is a bill that we heard some time ago. It's from the Department of Justice. Connie Gallagher's here, the Attorney General's setting up of the child abuse MDTs, multiple disciplinary intervention accounts, and how that's dispersed. As I recall, Connie Gallagher and a district attorney from Marion County were here on the bill, and there were just a few amendments. And you should have the dash one amendments before you.
Yeah, wasn't this the one the DHR had, the Department of Human Resources? Somebody had a question about it? Connie?
Not that I recall.
All right.
Connie, you want to...
Why don't you come up real quick and just...
I know. Yes,
please.
Okay, good. Happens.
Mr. Chairman, this deals with how the accounts are funded, basically,
okay.
For the MDTs. Connie, do you want? You probably do a better job of explaining this than I would.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Connie Gallagher, Director for Crime Victims Assistance at the Oregon Department of Justice. The proposed amendments to Senate Bill 112 are not substantive changes. They are changes that reflect a consensus of the stakeholders involved in multidisciplinary teams across the state. The bill as a whole attempts to update and clarify the current law in respect to practice and program changes. As you may recall from my initial testimony, the statutory language that's currently in effect was created back in the early 90s, and what we've attempted to do in Senate Bill 112 is simply make it more current with how practice has evolved in the past 10 years.
Right. Thank you. Then we need the adoption of the Dash 1 amendment. Senator Burdick.
Mr. Chairman, I move adoption of the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 112.
Senator Burdick moves the adoption of the Dash 1 amendment. Is there any discussion? Objections? Hearing none. Order. Senator Burdick.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 112 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Burdick moves Senate Bill 112 to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation as amended. Is there any discussion? Any objections? Hearing none. So ordered. Senator Burdick, would you like to carry that one? And Senate Bill 303, work session.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Senate Bill 303 was before you last month on the 24th. This is the bill that would allow a district attorney to plead domestic violence into an accusatory instrument and then prove it as an element of the crime. We heard testimony on this. This would allow, there are certain provisions in Oregon law that have special rules for domestic violence convictions, and this would allow those to be utilized. Current practice in LEDS, I believe they already have a system to flag domestic violence convictions. This would not change that, as I believe Ann Christian spoke to last time. Am I misstating that? Yes.
Okay. But, okay, if I understand correctly, this just simply allows us to charge the instrument as a domestic violence.
Correct.
Charge so that it shows that the purpose of lining it up with federal law.
And, well, Mr. Chairman, federal law, but also Oregon law. I think under federal law, they could pursue these cases without this language currently. The issues have more to do with having... There are you do have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt domestic violence in this case with this new language, and then you would avoid having to bring a victim back, for example, and
right.
prove again that part that they were an intimate partner, for example.
No amendments to this?
There are no amendments.
Senator Burdick.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 303 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Burdick moves Senate Bill 303 to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Objections? Hearing none. So ordered. Senator Walker, would you agree that?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thank you very much. And that should be it, isn't it? All right. Any other business before the committee? If not, we're adjourned.
Have you guys done all of this inside of the